You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
So we're like, we're not going to be asked to be on air on air. And then all of a sudden they start putting makeup on us. And I'm like, this is all live.
Oh, yeah. We're like on air, on air, on air.
Wow. We are on... So they start putting makeup on us, and the lady was like, Alexis, damn, bro, you don't need any makeup. You good. And then, you know, about four people worked on Christian.
Right. I need a team. I said, get me Rebecca Lowe's team. I need everybody. All hands on deck.
I heard people go, ring, just pulling out a corner. I'm like, what is happening over there?
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
We did what, a 5 minute hit max, minute and a half, 2 minute hit.
The actual video itself, the hit itself, I think was about 4 minutes, but we were on for about a minute.
And when we got off, we had about 17 DMs per second in that minute.
Bro, people were hitting up.
My phone got hot.
Old girls from high school were like, yo, I missed my opportunity.
I always believed in you. Never mind all that shit I said about not believing in you. I can't believe I jokingly wrote that in your yearbook,
but how
bro.
Silly am I, right? Such a goofball.
Bro, this is how tired we were. I called wifey and I was like, I am not driving home today. It ended up only being about an hour and 40 minutes, but yeah. I was like, I can't drive. I'm exhausted. All I know is I went upstairs. I called wifey and I'm like, yo, we got the hotel room until Monday anyway, so I think we're just going to stay. And I was like, I'm just going to put my head down and take a nap. I woke up an hour and a half later to messages from Morgan saying, hey, I'm leaving. We'd love to say bye. Alexis, Christian's like, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I just showered. And I'm like, Alexa, are you coming? And then the last message is from Christian going, I'm pretty sure he fell asleep.
Yeah.
I just woke up. There was drool on both sides of my face. You know how hard you got to drool?
Wow. You were like a geyser, and bro, a drool geyser.
You know when it rains too much and the water starts coming out of the manhole?
Right.
I think that's what happened, bro.
Okay.
I think I vomited drool in my sleep, bro. Is there a doctor in this chat?
Bro, isn't that what got Jimi Hendrix? I don't know how he died. I forgot he died. There was some rock star that died from like choking on their own vomit or something like that.
Oh, damn. That's why you always got to roll to your side, yo.
Yeah, bro. Okay.
Drizz on.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. And maybe, you know, the energy might be a little bit different today. We are recovering.
We started already. Why are you starting the show? He's Christian Polanco. I'm Alexis.
Every
Guerreros.
Single time. Alexis, you're like, there's new people tuning in.
We're in fifth gear and you jam it back in a second. Gears are grinding.
Literally, the one thing I asked to do on the show, Alexis is like, no, I refuse to do the normal thing. People do not know who we are. You know what? You know what I'll do in the future? I'm going to put graphics. I'm going to put our names on the broadcast so we don't have to do that. So
look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And so, the people listening already know who we are.
I'll work on that. Any graphic designers want to help me make some cool graphics on this program?
The voice you're listening to is the sexy one. And then that voice.
All I got is this sub-goal counter, okay?
That's and all. It ain't hitting.
It's not really hitting. It's above. It's on Alexis's face. It's not.
It's sitting on my hat brim, bro. It's hurting my neck.
So this is, you need somebody help us with this broadcast.
Yeah, anyway. If you know anything about graphics, llámame por favor.
But no, we're excited for today's show, and obviously there's clearly a lot going on, and we'll talk about our weekend. We also do not have enough time to really get into the bones of
turns out it was Jimi Hendrix who died on his own vomit.
You see, I had a feeling.
You have a weird knowledge of music, bro. Remember when I went to the dermatologist and I said to the lady, I'm like, I don't have to wear something, like I'm Latino. She looked at me and she goes, Jimi Hendrix died. Not Jimi Hendrix. Bob Marley died of skin cancer. And I was like, so what should I use? Like an SPF 75 or yeah. Can I just lather myself up to an inch thicker?
Exactly. So look, we have to. We
Nick
don't.
Brett said, can't wait for to hear Alexis complain about the graphics. And I will.
So we're going to talk about the Wild Weekend that we had. Obviously,
save it for the Patreon.
That's
bro.
What I'm saying. We don't have enough time.
No. We feed Gully Squad first.
Okay.
Shouts to Gully Squad. When y'all hear the shit that happened this weekend, just the experiences we had, we got an inside look into what it's like. You know when sometimes people hang out at a green room at a comedy club and we're all jaded and complaining about stuff and they're wide-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Yes.
Being like, I get to hear what comedians actually say. We got to do that, but for legendary footballers. It's the thumbnail, so you don't have to show if you were.
No, but I want to show it to the people watching right now because they're not looking at the thumbnail right now. But look at this, y'all. Look at this. Look at this photo.
You're showing your other photos, bro. What if you took a...
Those are photos from the Fan Fest.
What if you took a little nude, bro?
That's what I call them. I call them little nudes.
Little nudes. Because they're full dong, but they're real small. You got to really zoom in.
Okay. It's fun. It's like a little mystery adventure.
It's like, where in the world is Carmen Cian? It goes dong. Okay. And guess what? It's always where you think.
No, look at this. Let's address this photo real quick because we took this photo. I did the right thing. I was just like, yo, we're watching Manchester United versus Newcastle.
Right.
And
I'm sitting next to Alan Shearer, who looks like he is about to take a nap on my shoulder. Okay. It also looks like I'm sitting on a lot of phone books for some reason. He's my height, if not taller.
But look, let's just address everyone in this photo. On from left to right, it's Graham Stewart, Everton legend, Ian Wright, Arsenal legend. You might have heard of him.
You better put some respect on that man's name. That is a full-on Premier League legend who happened to play for Arsenal, my favorite club.
Correct.
That man is just a legend in life. More people know about him from that. Mr. Pigeon, I thought they said you was dead.
Oh, yeah. And he's also, I know you're not on TikTok much, but Ian Wright is a beast on TikTok. He's really funny. He does one thing that I know you would love. He does obviously punditry for like Sky Sports.
Yes, yes.
And you could see, you know, they're watching the game. They're watching the game just like this in a green room with like Graham Souness and Roy Keane and everything. But Ian Wright, what he does, this is why he's so great. We hung out with him for a bit, but he pulls out his phone and when Arsenal scores, he's literally like, Roy, look what happened. Like, we scored. Like, he's literally screaming in the green room with all these old other Premier League legends.
Right, just a bunch of bad knees.
He's like, yo, I ain't changing for nobody.
Nobody. Wait till you find out. Gully Squad, if you're listening to this, go check out No Cap Recap because you got to find out what happened when Saka scored, bro.
Bro, yeah. It was crazy. So Patreon.
I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this in public. You got to check it out.
Patreon.com/SoccerCooligans. Get there immediately. But then, so Ian Wright, and then to Ian Wright's left is Jason McAteer, who is a Liverpool legend.
Liverpool legend. Obviously, Graham Stewart. Did you mention him?
I did Everton mention legend. Graham Stewart. Yeah, yeah. And then, obviously, the two legends, the Cooligans right there, just chilling.
Yeah, yeah. We put the ends in legends, bro.
Bro, so you know this photo makes complete sense and it's all good, right?
This is exactly what I think Ian Wright woke up that morning saying, man, I hope I get to hang out with three other people who played at an extremely high level and two comedians who happen to be yelling on a microphone for 7 hours a day.
And then Alan Shearer on the end. Is Alan Shearer the leading goal scorer in Premier League?
No, he was.
He was until.
He was until, was it Aguero?
Who was it?
Who beat him? No, Harry Kane. Harry Kane beat him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And look,
his reaction when Ian Wright kind of joked with him about that was also funny. Save it for the Patreon.
And that's the main thing to highlight is these guys. They make fun of each other.
You think your tweets are funny? You think your roasts are funny? Bro, nothing compared to what these guys do.
They are relentless to each other. It's so funny. Honestly.
I want to give a shout out, though, to Graham Stewart, who a lot of you may not know him if you're not a big Evertonian, if you're not a big Toffee. But that dude, him and Ian Wright are two of the funniest people I've ever met. It is absolutely. Yo, Graham Stewart could hang. You drop Graham Stewart in a comedy club green room, no one in that room will know who he is. By the end of it, they'll assume he's like a big-time British comedian. Honestly.
really.
His timing is impeccable. Dude. He knows when to change his cadence and his story. I was floored. And he don't shut up.
We took that photo, and I wish we could have just, like, filmed that. Of us watching a game with these dudes, it was so epic. And so incredible. Like, honestly, it's one of those things where I'm like, I mean, I don't know how you don't feel this way, but sometimes I'm like, yo, is this real? I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be experiencing this.
Oh, you know what I think sometimes? I think, I bet you Christian thinking this ain't real, bro.
Nah, man.
I was sitting in that. We were sitting in that trailer for a hot minute watching a couple of games, a couple of matches with these guys. Ana Yurka was there for a little bit as well. Shouts to Ana Yurka. She's
from Telemundo.
From Telemundo. She's one of the greatest people. And she's like she's like the homie now.
Without a doubt.
Bro, she was like straight up like, oh, Ian, you should be on their show. And then she like winked at me. I'm like, oh my God, Ana. We got to give you 20% of this now. But we were sitting there for a minute and I thought, man, I hope someone takes a picture. I don't want to be the guy to say, can I get a picture? Because then in my eyes, that makes it seem like, you know, like we don't belong in this trailer or whatever. That's at least what I thought. And then Christian goes, this might be weird. I hope everyone's cool with it. You mind if we get a picture? And everyone's like, of course. I'm surprised. Thank you for asking. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Because I'm 100%. My feeling is like, we don't belong here. Let me need a photo to prove. Because no one's going to believe that we were in this room.
I shouldn't pipe up and ask for a photo to let everyone know. I know I don't belong here.
I started clicking a glass. I'm like, excuse me, everybody.
I kissed Alan Shearer. Okay. Which is not what he wanted when he did that.
But it was a beautiful moment. And I'm glad we shared that together.
Yeah. He won't stop texting me, though.
But no. Nah, man, look, and we'll save it for Patreon. But when the details of that,
Gully Squad gonna have a blast.
We were having so much fun in that room, making so many jokes.
And then we went out drinking with some of. I mean, we just had a blast,
dude. It was unbelievable. Shout out to everybody at NBC, the whole team. I mean, obviously Tim, the two Robbies, Rebecca Lowe, the staff.
I mean, look. Let's talk about the staff for a moment.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
I mean,
bro,
look,
to see it in person.
The way, I mean, it's like they're in surgery for 7 hours.
It is wild.
It is wild the way, how hard they work. Shouts to everybody we worked with. We're not going to put your names on blast on the podcast, but you guys are absolutely incredible. Also, shouts to some of the Premier League folks. Let us know. You know, there was a lot of very important people there. And apparently, because Comcast is in Philly, there was a lot of very important Comcast people there as well.
The execs.
You know, and I just walked straight up and I said, where's the shrimp cocktail? Because I belong. Yeah, this is kind of my theme, you know? I don't know if you know this, but Alan Shearer asked to take a picture with me and a bus full of legends. We try our hardest to be funny or whatever, but little by little, people would come up to us and give us a compliment from like an executive level and say, by the way, this producer at NBC really fought hard for you guys to be there. This person really fought hard for you guys to be there. Blah, 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 blah. You guys knocked it out of the park. But, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is the person who fought for you. So shouts to everyone who believed
in us, you know? It's almost like, you know, DJ Khaled is like, it's a shame.
Yeah.
They didn't believe in us.
Right.
But you know who did?
NBC did.
NBC did. Yeah. All right.
But it's just the Metalark who didn't stand in the way of us doing it.
They were completely supportive of it. And honestly, it probably wouldn't have happened without Metalark.
No, to be honest. Absolutely. Just the Metalark. I mean, this whole thing, this has been a whirlwind.
Unreal. So it was so, so fun.
Oh, and then obviously Tim Howard, Rebecca Lowe, Robbie Mustard, Robbie Earl.
I mean, it was unreal. It was truly
consummate professional.
I mean, yeah, when you see them working, first of all, our call time, our call time for us was 4:30 a.m.
4:30 in the morning is when we had to show
we had to
up
be there for work at
and 4:30. I know what you're thinking. We weren't allowed to sleep there because I would have very easily rolled out of bed and be like, I'm here. And that's kind of how I walked in there. You saw what we looked like at 4:30. We were like, we look like Walking Dead characters. And the four cast members are like, good morning, everyone. I'm like, what, you do this every week?
Damn, when you went to sleep at like 5 p.m.? how are you doing this?
What, do they shut you off after the broadcast and turn you on in the morning?
You see, I mean, their call time is earlier than ours. I know that. And
they got to sit in makeup for a while.
Yeah. When you see how, not only just how hard they work, but the constant notes that they're getting and the constant preparation, like they all really know their stuff.
And they're told X, Y, Z. And by, you know, every 5 minutes, Y is switching to Z, Z is switching to X.
It's unreal just seeing Yeah, I mean, and if you saw us on the broadcast, and where Rebecca was like saying, you know, she was like, I hope you guys are back, and you'll see that that you know, after you're done, you're gonna be need a break for like a week or something like that, because you see how tired
we
are.
We said, no, Rebecca, we're professionals. We have a podcast
we have to get to.
Yeah.
But it really is, especially putting together a fan fest like that. It really, really is a lot of work. And then those four people in particular, you know, you don't see exactly behind the scenes, because you see, you know, what's on camera, and they all seem it's all pristine, mm-hmm. and they're all incredibly sharp at their jobs. But the work behind that is, and the preparation behind that, and when you see it in person, I said it on the broadcast, I'm like, yeah, I got a newfound respect for all of you. Just that, not only, you know, if we started, if we had like a 10 a.m. call time and did the same exact thing, which is maybe like an 8 or 9 hour day, it will still be really hard.
Oh my God, that'd be very difficult.
But adding, you know, a 4:30 a.m. call time, or even for them, probably it's like 3 a.m.
Right, could you wake up at 3 a.m. and get here? And then there's already people that are active.
It is a straight up like 12 hour day. There's no real breaks. And it's really, really intense. So, again,
it's like an ant farm, bro. it's just people buzzing left and right.
Morgan Tenda says, shouts to the coffee stand. Yeah, Morgan was doing an amazing job out there. She was,
bro, coffee stand. They remembered me from LA.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I remember when we were in LA, I was talking to the Telemundo people, and there's two guys that work at Telemundo who are Cuban. One was the videographer, and the other one was one of the producers that worked with Ana Yurka. And I was like, man, I'm going to be on TV. I was like, they asked me to do that interview, remember last year? And I was like, I'm kind of dragging, man. I need a coffee. And I was like, I'm going to go to VIP. And then the guy goes, no, why don't you go to where the staff is? They have Cuban coffee. And I mean, he didn't finish work coffee before I was already walking. I was like, what? And they had a coffee stand with these two Latino dudes who basically look like our uncles, right?
Yeah, they were great. Yeah. They were cool. We were family immediately.
Bro, as soon as he saw me, he goes, Café Cubano? And I was like, yeah.
So, okay, tío.
Okay.
But nah, dude, really, really great stuff. I'm like, I got a couple photos here just showing. Look, this what a ridiculous, bro. What is our lives?
First of all, she looks happy to be there. And Rebecca Lowe knows who we are. Followed us on Instagram, bro.
I mean, look, our wives are not that happy when they see us. Okay?
my wife wouldn't have. She wouldn't even have Christian smile in this photo.
But really, really cool. This is us doing our thing. You know, talking to the crowd. Shout out to the crowd in Philly. There was just. I mean, it was fun. Being the heel, making jokes with them.
Yeah.
Mentioning that we were Giants fans. They hated that. That was great.
They loved every second of it.
They were booing us hard.
Also, at one point, and if you're a Patreon, there it is. If you're a Patreon listener, you will see the context behind, you will hear the context behind this. Shouts to Gully Squad, because I actually tickled Tim Howard's calf. Right.
Yeah. Oh, also, by the way, these are Morgan's photos, by the way. I forgot
to
mention that.
Shout out to Morgan Tenza, the legend Morgan Tenza.
Yeah, you see her in the chat. Make sure you follow her on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm going to start calling her Morgan 11, sir. You know what I mean? Because, yo, she just does it at such a high level.
Wow, really turning it up another notch.
You know
notch.
What I mean? That dog goes to 11, sir. And we also met Morgan's mom, dude.
That's right. Well, I met Judy already. You hadn't met her before.
Nah. Oh, bro, she gave me the biggest hug.
Yeah, she was great.
I was like, bro, she said she made 3,700 cookies. And I'm like, and you didn't bring one of them to us, dude?
Wow. It's an abundance of cookies.
I know, bro. What'd you do with the... You got 3,699 isn't enough?
and this is us on stage. You saw these photos.
By the way, Morgan took 1,000. I started, I guess, vamping towards her camera while everyone... Look at how everyone else is preparing and talking. And I'm just posing. And she's like, snap.
But no, that's how we know we're like on the same wavelength. She's like, all right, I got to look out for the Cougans right here.
I give him another thumbs up. I'm showing her the Arsenal. The guy in my ear, did you hear? He goes, I can't believe you're not showing your colors.
Yes, I did hear that.
And I'm like, bro, the jacket is the fit, though. I mean, the fit is way more important than any damn soccer team.
I love this photo because I forgot what I was saying, but everybody's laughing. And then Robbie Musto just is licking his lips.
Bro, can you? Look at that, bro. You know what happened? You said, well, you're little nudes, dude.
Okay.
He found it, dude.
That was great. And then there's that last photo. This just, again, unbelievable. Just literally, literally insane weekend.
A moment that will live with me forever is when Rebecca Lowe said, you guys have been here all week. How about a job they've done? And the crowd went wild as opposed to like boo. Because like, you know, we were messing with the crowd. We were kind of agitating them a little bit, you know, playing, having a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
So it was.
This is, this is another one. Oh, me hugging Rebecca Lowe. Great.
I'm behind them. You can't see me.
No, you walked already.
No.
No. You walked already.
I'm right there.
Because you were in front of her. There's no way you would have.
How did you not get a picture? You're Morgan Ninza, dude. How did you not get a picture of me?
This was from the NBC people, this photo. This was not Morgan's photo.
If you got a picture,
look at this one.
Morgan, if you got a picture of me hugging Rebecca Lowe or any of the guys, can you please text it to me right now? And I will put it on the show because Christian, once again, loves photos where I look like I'm half asleep or fat or way too fat. And pictures where I'm not hugging a goddamn gem, Rebecca Lowe.
Text it to me, not him or both or whatever, so I can put it if you actually want to do that.
Yeah, hit the group chat.
And then look at this photo. This is with WWE wrestler Sheamus.
Yes, I'm well aware who this is. He's also holding me. His arm might be one of the heaviest things I've ever had on my shoulder.
The dude is swole. It's
not even swole. Like, what's in there? Is that what muscles feel like when they get that big?
It's filled with Irish potatoes.
Here's what I honestly think. I think somewhere in Dublin, they perform surgery to put two legs on his shoulders. Because those don't feel like regular arms, dude.
Yo, why your biceps thighs?
Damn, son. Why ain't you got a thumb? How come your hand got a heel on it, bro? Your hand ashy as hell. Get your hand out that flip-flop.
But no, really, really dope, man. And Sheamus was really, really cool. Really nice guy. And if you were watching the broadcast, you saw him lift Robbie Musto, basically try to body slam him, which was pretty intense.
I do not think that was planned.
I don't think it was planned either.
We were near production and they were like, what is happening?
They were going back and forth and it's supposed to be like a little joke, like, and it looked like a little wrestling moment. But I think the body slam was probably not planned. But that was great. It was a nice surprise. Everybody was genuinely laughing and really, really excited about it. It was great.
I was yelling me next. I don't know what got into me.
All right. Let's talk about some of the matches that we did get to.
Crimson Pizza said two U.S. soccer legends and Tim Howard.
That's right. And Justin Freeberg said, Justin Freeberg, I did get to say hello to Justin.
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't see him.
Yeah, I was, because you walked that way. I was like, I'm done.
And I told you, I'm like, I think Justin's over here. I was trying to find him. And you were like,
no. Oh, I had to pee. That's why I had to get to the trailer. Yeah. Sorry, Justin.
Joe Whitlock said Ian Wright will be in any photo or video at any time with anyone.
Do not diminish our accomplishments, Joe Whitlock.
So he's a man of the people. Nah, I mean, even the Arsenal fans that were there. I mean, remember the Philadelphia Gooner guy?
Yeah.
You could tell how truly
so. Happy. I think his name is Stewart.
Yeah. Great dude.
Great guy. And thank you so much for the hat and the scarf. He saw him. He just happened to walk into the bar, both of us are talking to. I see he's wearing all Arsenal. I kind of try to cover Ian Wright just because I'm like, you know, I'm cognizant. I'm like, yeah, you don't want to bother this guy. But then I see
you were trying to steal that moment from him.
I'm trying to right block
security.
I'm trying to right block. But also, it's like Ian Wright's at a bar. You know what I mean? It's not like he's with his handler. Like, you know, you don't want someone to get bothered. By the way, we got the photo. Okay. Thank you, Morgan 12za. look at these. Wait a minute. There's none of me hugging Rebecca Lowe. There's just one of me being, I guess, brooding towards the camera. Put that on air. Show that.
Okay.
God damn it.
This is so funny. Well, yeah, I guess. There's just two of them. All right, this is this one. I think, did I lose the connection?
No. Anyway,
still.
Well, so this guy walks up. He happens to have his original Ian Wright.
It's not working.
Of course, right? Look, this is what happens whenever it's about me.
It went away.
This is what Christian does, bro. This guy walks into a bar and he happens to have in his bag an original Ian Wright kit.
Yeah.
That's his first kit he ever received. He's the head of the Philadelphia Gooners. And when he pulls it out, he asks Ian Wright, would you mind signing it? He even cut the collar off just like Ian Wright used to do. And he said, would you mind signing it? And he was, his hands were visibly shaking. And you could tell, like, he was just, what a lucky strike to walk into a random bar and happen to find the guy that made you want to love this sport. And at that moment, I'm like, man, this is what it's all about.
Yeah, you know? It was really beautiful. He was genuinely proud and happy and, like, nervous. You could tell. He was asking for those autographs.
And when,
like,
he looked over and saw who we were, he started shaking even more.
He was like, bro, man, he collapsed. We had to call an ambulance.
He pulled out two microphones, which were the original microphones we used to use.
Okay, so here's the photo. I got to work it. And it's me hugging Rebecca, but not you.
It's just another photo of Christian hugging Rebecca.
Just from another angle. It's all good. And then we have this one, but you about to dap up.
What about?
No.
You didn't download the one of me brooding?
No. I only got those two. I didn't want to. All right. I didn't even see that other message.
Oh, man. This is what he does, y'all. I swear this is what he does. Here, I'll show you this way.
There you go. Okay. I see it. All right. Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this sexy beast.
Wow.
God damn.
Okay. Let's, as always, anybody in the chat, if there's anything you want to make sure that we discuss, please.
Christian was blocking it. That's what she put. I can get a photo of you hugging Rebecca Lowe. Christian was blocking. Christian was like, don't show this picture.
I was, just like he's Ian Wright security. I'm Rebecca Lowe security. Yeah, like, no, she does not want to be bothered.
By the way, shouts to Joey, where is it?
Gusto.
Joey Gusto said, I got there at 6:15 and heard you guys already going crazy on the mic and I couldn't believe how high your energy was. Shouts to the coffee guys for that. But the first day was really cool because they opened our mics for a full hour before anything started happening. So as people were walking in, we just started roasting them.
Yeah, dude. That's the way.
It was a blast.
It was too much fun. All
then there were noise complaints, so we couldn't do that on Sunday.
we'll get that. Again,
save it for the Patreon.
We have so much to talk about.
We got
to
get a button that says save it for the Patreon.
Okay.
Save it for the Patreon.
All right. As always,
it's the Cooligans, buddy.
Poppy welcoming us. Let's get this show.
Thank you. I'm so excited for all the things we're going to talk about today. This is the Cooligans.
Alexis hates doing a show. I don't know what it is.
Excited for all the things we're going to talk
Manchester
about.
Manchester United, Manchester City against Liverpool. I want to make sure we talk about that because they were the obviously they lost 1-0.
I like how you act like this is the biggest match of the weekend, not Arsenal destroying.
Well, it was the.
No, of course it is.
Yeah. It was a pretty big.
I'm only joking around. Shouts to Liverpool. Thank you so much.
We'll talk the Arsenal match because that.
No, we better.
Had a lot of controversy in it. But the I think the expectation for a lot of people was that Manchester City was actually going to just demolish Liverpool because Erling Haaland is there. And, that was clearly probably the safe assumption. Another incoming hat trick for Erling Haaland. And it was pretty much the complete opposite. Liverpool, they looked fairly sharp.
I watched this match with some big legends. Mm-hmm. And I think the difficult thing is trying to parse exactly what happened, right? Do you think this was Liverpool figured out Manchester City, maybe found a couple of, dents in the armor? Or is this just Manchester City weren't clinical? Because it's kind of, I think it might be a little bit of both.
I think it's more like Liverpool is City's kryptonite to some degree, or Klopp is Pep's kryptonite. Because Liverpool have been horrendous this season. Overall, they have not looked good.
But they looked really good in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And that maybe could be the springboard, you think?
Yeah, but who's in their group in the Champions League? They're not, like, dominating.
They were looking bad at the beginning.
They're looking bad. I'm just saying, in the Premier League.
Rangers, I think they beat up on Rangers a little bit.
They crushed them. But overall, in Premier League, Liverpool have not been great. But there's something about City that they are perfectly prepared for, whether it's like emotionally or tactically.
Think they needed to win. They needed to make a statement.
Right.
Mohamed Salah needed to do something, bro.
Yeah.
He got that big old bag, and he hasn't done anything with it.
I mean, he scored a whole bunch of goals in Champions League, right?
Champions League?
All right.
In 6 minutes. man, 6 minutes.
And Salah obviously got the game-winning goal. There was the controversy of VAR taking away the Foden goal because of a foul in the lead-up from Erling Haaland.
I think VAR was right there.
Yeah, there was a foul, but then
VAR was pretty infallible all weekend. This was a good weekend for VAR.
Outside of the you know,
is it because all those calls went my way?
Outside of the Leeds Arsenal match where they literally the power went out and they couldn't communicate with VAR. Like VAR ended up being MVP of that game without a doubt. If there wasn't VAR in that game, it would have been like just an absolute nightmare.
It was really impressive. I mean, it was an impressive showing by Liverpool.
Right, but I had seen that there was a foul. Haaland committed a foul, but then earlier than even before that foul, I think he fouled Alisson when he had the ball in his hands or something like that. Like there were two fouls committed. He committed two fouls. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't get the one that they got him for, they would have gotten the one prior to that. So it's I think a lot of people were paying attention to him specifically because, you know, he is basically the face of the Premier League at the moment because he had 15 damn goals already. Right. But he wasn't locked down per se. But
you have to say he was in Virgil van Dijk's pocket. You got to say it.
I don't know if you got to say that.
You got to say it.
I don't think so because he did have a couple good chances and he just didn't put them away. I mean, especially.
His headers kept going over the crossbar. But yeah. Would you say he had a lot of good chances or would you say he was finding ways to get opportunities that normally wouldn't be, you know, other strikers wouldn't get? Because that's what I would say. I wouldn't necessarily sit here and say he had a lot of good opportunities because he didn't.
Say a lot, but he had a couple.
He had a couple of headers? He had a couple of headers where he really had to rise over. I mean, the guy's 6'19" already. You know what I mean? He had to rise up to kind of get to. You know what I mean? I would say the best opportunity or what he was doing best was he was keeping the back line so busy that Foden was finding these big open pockets.
Yeah.
And you saw how in the goal that eventually got called back, in that opportunity, you saw how Phil Foden loves that Erling Haaland is there. He's like, no, y'all focus on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like when I go to a party with my wife, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to go talk to my wife, and then I get to go to the food. You know what I mean? I'm like, no. Have you seen my wife? She's over there. You know? And I'm just munching on Doritos.
He does the chatting. Uh-huh. I do the chewing.
100%. It's more of a chat-chew relationship.
Oh, did I sneeze? No. I'm eating.
No.
Chat-chew.
Bless me. For what? For chat-chewing?
Okay. And the one thing you notice in that game was the opportunity, the chances that Liverpool had were the ones.
By the way, a nice cold brew kind of reiterated what I said. He said, based on how Haaland was ragdolling the rest of the league, what a great word, ragdolling. You could say Virgil van Dijk put him in his pocket, which I think Virgil van Dijk had to show up big time.
I thought...
All of Liverpool needed to make a statement, and it just sucks that they did it on City. I mean, sucks for them.
Virgil van Dijk was good. I honestly thought Joe Gomez was the other center back.
Absolutely incredible.
I thought he was so much better and much more crucial to you know, more important for that victory. But the chances, Salah missed an earlier chance. They had like two or three like breakaways, which that's the thing. City,
Salah was one-on-one with the keeper twice.
Yeah, and the way City play, or the way teams play City, or at least the way Liverpool play City, there's really never a moment. Teams play so cautious that they're never going to get a ball sent over the top, and they're 1v1 versus the keeper. Honestly, Manchester City is rarely ever in that position. They play such a possessive game and break you down and make you make a mistake that they tend to be vulnerable in that way, where somebody who's just stupid fast and can control a long ball or if the center back is going to make a mistake. I think it was Akanji that made a mistake that led to Salah getting that chance. That's their kryptonite. That's their weakness. And if Liverpool have, let's say, at least fullbacks that can send balls straight forward, or even center backs that can send balls.
It was actually Alisson. The keeper was the one who sent the goal scoring one. Which, by the way, normally that's Ederson's thing.
I know.
Ederson's the one who's like, no, I'll ping it right on the dime.
Yeah, there was I think when we were on stage with Rebecca and the guys, there was a note that said, I saw it on the table, that one of the producers handed it over and
said, stop reading this, Christian. No. They got me, bro.
It said Alisson has three or four assists in the Premier League or whatever, right, and they were all to Salah, which is sort of just a fascinating stat. Shaq and Kobe type of relationship.
Yeah. I only passed the one dude.
But then also Klopp got a red card, right?
Yes.
And I didn't see exactly for what. He must have just
barked
been
at the official as he walked by.
Got it. That'll do it. I did see that he might not get the automatic game suspension because,
like Tuchel?
Remember back? Yeah. Similarly, he may not get it. But I don't know exactly why he wouldn't have to do that. But maybe there's some nuance to what he did that, they're going to allow him to coach the next game.
I think the most important part of this Liverpool victory is, one, the cushion that it gives Arsenal. Thank mm-hmm. you, Liverpool.
Yeah, the Arsenal fans were cheering quite loudly for Liverpool. Which
you know how, like, all the Arsenal fans were Everton fans on Saturday? You failed us. All the Arsenal fans became Liverpool fans on Sunday. And right. 4-point cushion, I think this is the best start to a top-flight season for Arsenal in their history. In their history.
Yeah.
So can everyone who has ever tweeted or said Arteta out, maybe start writing your apology letter now?
Troops? No.
Troop?
Okay, where's the...
Maybe your pen and paper wants to come back again?
I want an apology with tears.
It's absolutely an incredible start to a season. Shouts to Liverpool for giving us that extra cushion. Thank you very much. Also means they can't go invincible, which was, I mean, what wild talk.
Every Arsenal fans celebrate this moment every
Wow, it's
season.
The only time it's ever fucking happened. Maybe that's it, Christian.
Every single time it's like, oh, we have our thing. Basically, Arsenal fans are like, this.
Hey, don't you want a thing?
Thing. I'm just saying, this is it happened. The invincible season happened, yes. And Arsenal fans are like, I'm going to make this my personality for the rest of my life.
Well, it may not be a personality. I think more of my personality is not liking Spurs. I'd say that's more my identity. But if you think I'm not going to take every opportunity to bring this up when an undefeated team that everybody said was going to go undefeated finally loses, then you're wrong. And it also goes to show how good of a season Arsenal have had up to this point, where we're a quarter way of the season. We're a quarter way through the season, and we're in first place. We have, 27 points? 27 points, 28 points. Absolutely incredible beginning to a season. 27 points.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incredible beginning to a season. We only have one loss, and it was away at Old Trafford, which is a bit of a bogey for us. You couldn't ask for a better beginning. Shouts to Mikel Arteta, because I've told people message me, Dubes hit me up, and he was like, hey, man, you said trust the process. I didn't want to, but it is what it is. He goes, now I'm happy that we're here. So,
yeah, they looked sharp, and especially in the first half against Leeds. Leeds were...
Kirby D said, we get it, Christian. You're an Everton fan with nothing to celebrate.
Okay. I'm glad that's coming across clearly. Because that's
his identity.
That's 100% what I'm trying to convey to everyone. But let's talk about the Arsenal-Leeds match. Saka scored the goal. And
what an incredible goal. Incredible vision by Martin Odegaard.
That second half, Leeds... It was actually a miracle Leeds did not score.
It wasn't a miracle. The pressure was clamped down defensive tactics.
The pressure. What is that? You're not on TikTok, but it's that meme or whatever. The pressure is getting worse. It's a great.
Thanks, Dad.
Nah, bro. What are you
talking
about?
Have you guys heard it?
Literally, the young people. That's how they talk.
Substitute teacher vibes over here. I'm not on TikTok, but this is what Jesse Marsh's system is, right? At some point, you're going to lose momentum to them. Mm-hmm. They're going to gain the momentum. They're going to have the ball. They're going to be putting you in positions you don't want to be in. Their players are very rapidly coming towards you as you have the ball. You have to be sharper. Again, I think there were lessons that were learned from the Manchester United match, and I think lessons will be learned from this match. The benefit to that is we won this one. And when you saw the sustained pressure that we're putting on you, you're just like, what is that one piece they're missing? It might be Bamford.
He had
that penalty miss was
great opportunity. I think that would that have been his first goal of the season? I don't know. It was just a really poor
miss. I think
miss.
He was injured before the beginning of the season. But I think when you look at what this team is missing is someone that's, clinical in front of goal. Bamford, I'm sure once he gets warmed up, he'll be fine. But thank God he was cold on that day.
Yeah, I mean, look, the handball on Saliba was was correct. I mean, he handled the
Here's
ball.
What I don't like about it. There's
that
a moment.
It happened to Arsenal.
No. There's a moment where he's kind of like, he's got his hand on the back of the other player and he's kind of ushering him. Mm-hmm. And that player just like quickly moves out of the way as the ball's coming. And that's when it hit Saliba's hand.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he stuck his hand out to receive the ball. It's unfortunate. And I thought they changed the rule this season so that there was a bit more leeway with accidental handballs. I'm not saying that that would have been one, but I thought that rule had been changed this season. I guess not.
And my man caught it in his breadbasket, dog. He caught it. It was a
He had it like a Thanksgiving turkey, bro.
He looked like he was about like a volleyball strike, with his forearm.
Spiked it, bro. He got it out of there. He cleared it, as far as I'm concerned.
No, but as soon as your arm is in an quote unquote unnatural position, and it helps you control the ball, and to therefore then I think Ramsdale picked it up. That's it. It's a handball. So fair handball. And Leeds deserved an opportunity to equalize in that game, and I thought that was a fair call.
Thank you for failing.
Yeah, I mean, so that moment was also a really cool thing, because we were watching the penalty being taken with Ian Wright. And you saw that video, NBC Sports, and you see Alexis in the background watching it with him. I'm right behind Alexis. I don't think you see me in the video. But, bro, watching that moment.
We were tagged in it, because I said to the dude who was filming, I'm like, I'm in that. You better tag me, bro.
But to see that and to watch a penalty being taken with Ian Wright and see
who's him, in front of the fans.
Yeah, and celebrating was really, really dope. That was a really, really cool moment for both of us. But Bamford missing that is just, it's crazy. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
More like Blamford, bro.
I mean, if the keeper stops it, you're like, all right, the keeper stops it. But yo, I mean, at this point,
I think the keeper would have stopped it.
I think so too.
Yeah, Aaron Ramsdale would have had an incredible save. And I've said this before, I'll say it a million times. The pressure is all on the
kicker.
On the kicker. It's they're supposed to score. I don't know if it was smart. I think you want to give him a penalty, because you're like, hey, get on the open your account for the season. You know, get out there. But at the same time, you're like, yo, you just got here, bro.
That's the
this
same
might
thing.
Be a lot.
They did that, I think, with Dominic Calvert-Lewin in the not the beginning of that. When he was injured, he came back from a long injury stretch, and they were like, oh, we got a penalty. Give it to Dom.
Yeah, here's an easy
played, one. Hasn't played in months, but let's give it to him. And he misses. And it's just like, it's difficult because you – sometimes you go into it like, oh, this is a guaranteed goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but when you give it the opportunity to a player that really isn't, like, the confidence is not there, you think, it's like, what's the angle you take? Give him the best chance to score so that you can build his confidence.
You give him a penalty if you're up 2-0.
Right.
Yeah, you don't give him a penalty when you're down 1-0.
Yeah, especially even if it's 0-0 or 1-1 or whatever, it's a risk, because now the pressure is on the player to now it's like, oh, I haven't played in months and I have to try to get my team the victory. Like it's all on my shoulder. So overall, I would say it's probably the wrong move, but who's a better penalty taker on Leeds, right? I mean,
I've asked the other question too, like who actually, practices. I probably would have given it to Jack Harrison, who's been absolutely lights out the last few weeks.
Right, right.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual, because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
By the way, if you are a member of Gully Squad, you got to hear it. It's cool hearing it. We were with Ian Wright when he talked about like what a striker should do.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's the best advice for taking a penalty. And he was talking to Alan Shearer and Stewart and McAteer. Like, they, we weren't involved in the conversation. Yeah. And just to hear all of them kind of give what their thing is was so cool. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, dude. Y'all didn't want our input? What happened?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, you know what I do? And they mushed me. And I'm like, yo, here's another bag of Doritos, dude.
Del Boy Zero said Leeds are like are like being attacked by a bear that have no teeth. They are the gummy bears.
Hey.
Wow. There he is, though, boy. Give it, I mean, tone it down, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know.
A nice Cobra also said Tyler Adams is a menace. Bay Area Gunas said Aronson was bawling. It was actually kind of... It was kind of jarring to have my heartstrings pulled so much.
Yeah.
Because I got these guys on leads that I really care about, you know what I mean? And I want them to do well. And they did show really well. And I love whenever there was an issue, the first two people that were like pushing and getting in the face of the official and the other players were Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson. No chill, bro. East Coast all day. No chill from these guys. And we were in Philly. So there were so many people that were rooting for Brendan Aaronson. Paxton, his younger brother was there who, again, I'm telling you, it's better than Aaron, bro. Wait till you see this guy. If you're a Premier League club and you're listening to this, one, don't you got better things to do with your time? And two, you should buy Paxton Aaronson. But it was so cool to see just how involved they were with everything.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, they got Brendan Aaronson. There were a lot of Brendan Aaronson kits and Leeds kits out in at the Philly Fan Fest. And Jesse March did have a comment that I thought was interesting because you could tell he really wanted a result in this game. And he tweeted, it's difficult to be patient as a manager. I want to win every game. I ask the lads to invest everything they have into our process and each other. I'm like, all right, you really spoon feeding, leaning in.
He's like, huh? Hey. Lads? I think you guys get what I'm
America?
Trying to say.
America? Never heard of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You know, he's like, I reckon. Huh?
Hey, okay.
All right. I'll finish my sentence.
My experience, he continues, he says, my experience is that they will benefit massively from this mentality. We're getting better, no doubt, and I back these men all the way.
He went back to men.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Yeah. So, no, you can... I think this game affected... The power outage really hurt the momentum for Leeds, without a doubt, because that first half, they did not look great. It took to the second.
Bro, I was the one who had to deliver that message.
Yeah, dude. I was in the trailer.
There's, 8,500 people?
Yeah.
All standing around, kind of like, because the Arsenal match isn't happening. And then I'm in the food tent, just piling food on top of a waffle.
Literally making a food teepee.
Bro, other people were staring at me. I'm like pouring ketchup on stuff. And I hear in my ear, Alexis, and I'm like, I'm dropping stuff.
Yeah.
Because you forget the things in your ear after a while. And like, could you deliver a message to the Arsenal fans? Which is why I messed up. It's because the producer said, could you let the Arsenal fans know that the game is suspended temporarily because, and why? You know, the VAR.
The power outage, yeah.
So I was like, yeah. I was like, I said it in my mic. I was like, all right, I'll be there. He goes, all right, in about 30 seconds, we're going to put your mic live. So I put my food down. Actually, no, I carried my food. I go, I'm behind, you know, those boards that had the players with the international and the regular on it. So I'm kind of not that hidden. I'm kind of standing by the fence, and the security guard's just staring at this massive plate of food, right? And I've got the microphone in my mouth, and he goes, your mic's live. And I'm like, dear Arsenal fans, I'm sorry to say that the match, because of the outage, the communication system, the officials cannot communicate with VAR. The match is suspended. And the guy goes, temporarily. I go, temporarily. And he goes, and Leeds fans too. I go, and Leeds fans, sorry, showed my true colors. And
as I only, away, this message is only for the Arsenal fans and the Arsenal fans exclusively.
Let's be honest.
Everyone else, cover your ears.
Five Leeds fans there, one of which was in Harry Potter. He ain't listening. Right?
Matt Lewis was there from Harry Potter.
He's a great guy.
Oh, Neville Longbottom was there. It was really cool as well. We got to meet him. He was cool.
Don't say disrespectful. Oh, that was his name on the show. I don't know how long your bottom is, Maji. But yo, I walk away, and the security guy was just like very sarcastically gives me a thumbs up. It was like, at least you didn't drop the food.
Hilarious. Delboy said it's your food. It was food Jenga. And then an ice cobra said, English football pyramid? Nah, what about the Alexis food pyramid?
Bro, I had all the food was teetering. The fact that I was able to deliver that message and not drop it and walk back to the food to get more ketchup.
But, you know, usually we think of, like, the healthy food pyramid, but the Alexis food pyramid, what does that look like?
No, there was, like, a piece of broccoli in there, bro.
It was one. That's, the cherry on top.
Yeah.
That's as much vegetables as you need.
I was like, not too much.
So the... So Arsenal winning that game was obviously huge. It was weird that because the game was suspended, the game...
Well, there was that, 12-minute gap?
It was a little bit longer. It was like 23 minutes, 22
I
minutes.
I thought it was 12.
So,
you know I can't keep time when I'm eating my food here, man.
So because of that, as the NBC or USA broadcast
right,
came
back. Right, because the halftime was for Manchester United versus Aston Villa?
Who'd
they win?
Newcastle. No,
So that's the one we're timed with. So there's a halftime. We got to be back for that.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to be doing my job, talking to the audience.
While the Arsenal match is literally playing.
And really, this is where you carried the team. Because I was like, yeah, dude, 100%. He's like, Alexis, what do you think about this weekend in Philly? I'm like, totally. I think they're going to win, dude. Yeah. He's like, what? I'm like, uh-huh. Oh, what
soccer, pass the ball.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I'm just screaming into my microphone, Arsenal stuff. That wasn't my proudest 20 minutes. But, we had to sort of switch up. So there'd be moments where, like, Rebecca Lowe's like, and we're back in Philadelphia. Ah, like the crowd cheers for a different reason.
Nick Red asked the question, did Christian eat a cheesesteak down there, or was he bested by Rebecca Lowe having one?
Did you have a cheesesteak? There were cheesesteaks.
I did not have a cheesesteak. I actually don't really love cheesesteaks.
See? Yeah, okay.
I can
all
have,
right, the truth comes out now.
A full cheesesteak is, to me, an absurd thing to eat.
Can I tell you something? I ate a full cheesesteak. I didn't even poo.
Yeah, that's. I hope your doctor's tuning in.
Bro, I was like, where'd it go? I was so worried.
Not a good sign, bro.
Usually, my aunt always says, if there's any Latinos, I hope you're not drinking coffee when you're hearing this. If there's any Latinos, my aunt would always say, come y caga, come y caga. Because I'm the type of dude that if I eat, I got to go to the bathroom right after. Like a bit like a duck. You know?
Yeah.
And I ate this whole cheesesteak. And I was like, oh, God, now I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. Luckily, the hotel was really, really close to the stage area. But I'm like, where is this cheesesteak?
Yeah. It's a big concern. I avoid them. I didn't have any. But I did go to the Knicks. Yeah.
But you got the meatball.
No. I got the roast pork. I don't know.
I told you meatball was the move.
They were sold out of meatballs.
Yeah, that's the move. That's why they had roast pork, because everybody knows you get the meatballs there.
At Reading Terminal, whatever.
Kirby goes, Alexis, how much do I need to know about your colon? That's a good point. Yeah, you're listening. I didn't go on your computer and click on this button. You did. By the way, a nice cold brew says ketchup on a cheesesteak, yes or no. Here's what I say. I did put ketchup on mine, but that's before they told us they were the hot pepper mix. So I actually wiped some of the ketchup off mine and put the hot pepper spread all over my cheesesteak. I put that on both sides of the bread. You got to split it open and put it on the walls, on the labia majora, if you will.
Okay, well, yeah.
I don't know if that's how you guys talk about sandwiches.
Okay, we learned about the colon.
We're learning a lot about nether regions in general.
The only other one I wanted, at least player I wanted to talk about was Mason Mount, because I thought he had a great weekend, scoring 2 goals for Chelsea.
Crimson Pizza said, Christian's like, how about you put an impossible burger patty on a flatbread with some cashew cheese? Is that a cheesesteak?
I'm allergic to cashew, so yeah, I would not do that.
You can't even enjoy that.
I don't. Okay. I did want to talk about Mason Mount, because he had 2 goals for Chelsea. Sorry.
Del Boy said that cheesesteak going to be in your intestine for 20 years. Okay. Bro, where did it go?
It's just it's hiding out in his large intestine. Mason Mount. Can we talk about Mason Mount instead of your bowels?
Talk about Mason Mounts. I mean, Mason Mount.
He scored 2 goals and an unbelievable free kick that kind of a knuckler on there. But what does this do for, again, Christian Pulisic did not play this game. A lot of people are talking about, you know, he scored a goal last week. He gets a start and Pulisic scores. And then next week, no game time.
I don't know what this man does in training.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
What's he go every time
his Grand Potter says something? He's like, man,
he just sucks his teeth the whole time. What does he do in training that won't get him consistent playing time?
Yeah.
At this point, there's something. I don't know what it is. If Tuchel didn't like you, I get it. Y'all didn't have a great relationship from the Dortmund days. But now, Grand Potter?
Yeah, dude. I was telling some of the Everton staff, I'm like, what? Who do I need to talk to?
Yeah.
Go sign Christian Pulisic. Do the right thing.
You got a new stadium.
Okay. What?
Do I have to do this for you? You got a big new stadium. Okay. The kid already wears blue. The World Cup is in his home country. He's going to be the big name. And, mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day.
I mean, it just works for all parties involved.
You know, I honestly think, I mean, should I make the phone call for you?
No, it's. I guess, look.
It would be automatic if he went to Everton.
Starting every game.
And he would starting every game. He'd be beloved. He'd be a superstar. He'd be happy. He'd be starting every game. He'd probably play central if he wants to.
Right.
Because you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not a striker.
Centrally in the midfield.
Maybe. I think he's better out wide. He's probably better on the left or the right. Okay, I would say the left.
Don't be quiet, because Greg Berhalter listens, dude. He gonna play him.
He
central.
Usually plays him on the left wing most of the time.
He swaps. He goes in and out. He's right. Like a little Insigne.
Yeah, yeah. Even though Insigne is already pretty low, but
but not as little as Lil Nudes. Okay. Download the app, folks.
Okay.
God damn, it's another school bus. That's not the picture I'm trying.
No.
You picked the wrong Lil Nudes.
So look, I don't know. U.S. Men's National Team Twitter is concerned about it, but it's hard to make sense of it.
Delboy said, as a Brit who went to Philadelphia and had a cheesesteak, both are highly overrated and could kill you. It's a good tweet.
All right, well done. So I don't know. Look, I think we do this every week. We were wondering why he's not playing. It's hard to explain. But if Chelsea are winning, and they also, did Édouard Mendy get injured? Is that why he's not playing? Because Kepa Arrizabalaga was in goal, and he had a fantastic game. So I wonder if it seems like Potter is maybe going in a different direction or trying things out, and maybe Pulisic is not completely like in his plans. I don't know. You know, look, realistically, this World Cup is going to be tremendous for Christian Pulisic. If he has a good World Cup.
Mendy was originally injured when Graham Potter first got there, which gave the role back to Kepa, and apparently Kepa's kept the position.
Yeah.
As his name
he
is.
He looked pretty good. He looked good in that game as well. But I think Pulisic, if he has a good World Cup, I think it's either going to force Chelsea to play him more, or maybe, I don't know if he can force a move, but...
But the transfer window opens almost immediately after the World Cup.
Yeah.
So as long as he has a good World Cup, I mean, this is the, you know, people are talking about Juve in the chat. It's only if you're not going to play this player, you're the owner. You didn't pay. You didn't buy this guy. You didn't spend the 60 million pounds or whatever it was. Sell them. Yeah. Let him have a chance somewhere else.
Christian Pulisic has a book coming out right before the World Cup, which I can't wait to read. I want to know everything about.
I wish we were friends, because I'd be like, dude, don't do it.
Yeah, I'm dying to read this book
so
much, because I want to know about, you know, his history and childhood and how he became the man that he is and all that stuff. Because, I think it's going to be a lot of interesting fodder to discuss.
Don't do it, dude.
Like, nah, books. Get them out of my house.
It's not just that. It's like, damn, man. You know what they're saying about you, bro. You really want to be talking?
I want to know. I want to know. We'll see where he gets his, views and values. I'm curious. Okay.
Yeah. A nice Cobra said, I didn't even think about the transfer window being so close to the end of the tournament. January window is going to be wild. So many bum players that had one good tournament.
Bro, the stock
is going to be sold for millions more than they should.
Bro,
be.
I got an assist at the World Cup.
I don't know if you was watching North Korea versus Fiji, but I stood out.
Okay. I am expecting higher wages than Erling Haaland,
right,
of course.
Right.
Because he ain't even there.
Right. Did you see me running around with a gun? That's allowed. It's allowed in that match. That's me, bro. So should I just show up to City Football Group or?
So it's going to be pretty, pretty intense. But look, I think everybody's going to have a lot of recency bias after that World Cup.
This happens at every major tournament. Somebody looks really, really good.
Yeah.
They get sold for a lot. And then people are like, you don't even know how to play the game. How'd you get in the country's national team?
But it's like the person I always think of with that, at least in my recent memory, is James Rodriguez. Because James got that goal against Uruguay. And that shit changed his trajectory in life.
Bro. He was Dogecoin right before Elon Musk went on SNL.
Everybody was like, who is this adorable Colombian man?
He can dance. He's got a great smile. And he had that one amazing goal. So we got to give him a couple hundred million.
And then boom, he's right at Real Madrid. Yeah. Just that one goal did it. And that's truly, truly what can happen if you have a good World Cup.
If you're laughing at Barcelona's transfer, Rafinha, one goal, by the way. Then just wait for January transfer window.
I thought Crimson Pizza said, Gully Squad Book Club? Imagine Alexa ain't going to be a part of it. I'll tell you that much.
I got a book club. Here's a pamphlet to the soundboard we purchased. Does anyone have cliff notes?
A couple other things I wanted to make sure we discussed is, let's talk about Barcelona a little bit, because they had a match they played against. Who'd they play against?
I thought you were going to talk about the OVO kit.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but the OVO kit was on Barcelona, uh-huh. But they were playing Real Madrid. And before this game, they changed their shirt sponsor.
Well, no, they didn't change it. Spotify is the shirt sponsor, right. And they want to honor some of their biggest acts throughout the rest of the next coming weeks.
Right.
So they're all, remember, you know, those athletic kits that I forgot what movie.
Yeah, they had like Iron Man and
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was on there once. Yeah.
So these have all become collectibles. So whether you like it or not, this is going to become a collectible. For one match only, they wore the OVO owl.
Yeah.
And that is to honor Drake for being the first artist to get the 50 billion streams.
That's a lot of streams.
That's like 49.9999 more than us.
Yeah, yeah. We're still trying to catch up. So really, subscribe to
this
podcast.
I feel like we will eventually.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, it'd be nice.
We're going to be dead for about 200 years before we hit the 50 billion mark.
But the podcast is still there.
It's no excuse to not hit play on that.
Don't you want to listen back? And honestly, I get people are saying it's trash. People don't like it.
I think it's cool.
If you live in Toronto, this is probably a really big flex for you. But you know, at the end of the day, who cares whether you like it or not? This thing is going to be worth a lot of money. You should try to get your hands
on it.
This
is one of those. I don't have any Barcelona kits, but this is the one I would want. Like, this is actually.
Would
really
you wear it?
I would wear it. Yeah.
You ain't interested in making all that money?
I don't know. I don't really care about money, bro. Money's not important.
Okay. Could we be more different?
But then
Paolo Nelson said, looks like they're sponsored by Sheffield Wednesday. This has been the strike against that owl.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very clearly inspired, at least the line drawing of an owl. They're standing in the same direction.
But then this was the interesting one that Drake, I guess, made a bet.
No. Drake must have some type of offshore account with stake.com because he will post really large bets on stake.com. He has a Twitch stream that Drake does. I don't know if it's Twitch or it's YouTube Live.
I don't know.
Where other rappers will come over and from the same computer he's streaming from, he will place massive bets on a roulette wheel.
Okay.
Something like 2.3 million per hand, per roll.
Per spin, yeah.
Spin, whatever the thing's called. I don't play roulette. It's the dumbest game. It's got the lowest odds.
He plays the Russian kind.
Yeah. If you get it, it's spaghetti. He places massive bets, and he decided, why not bet on the team that's wearing my owl?
Yeah. And he bet what? It was a total, I guess. So he bet on the Leeds and Arsenal match.
It was a parlay.
Which I don't understand betting. I still have to reach out to Mike Ryan Reeves to explain to me how betting works. I do not understand.
But very simple. A parlay is both of these things have to go
the way I said,
or else you don't win.
So
all the things I mean.
But he put down $833,000.
Right.
Which is, I don't know, 55 cents. I don't know how it works.
I don't know how it works. It's about 18 stone, Brits, if you're listening.
But he lost because, Barcelona is, they haven't activated the winning lever. They've
Arsenal pulled their end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm. And
but Barca did not.
And to lose $830,000 on a bet. I mean, look, I don't care. They say, gamble responsibly, but this man, I mean, look, he doesn't have to be responsible.
What's the equivalent of that to us? The man has a $100 million home. So this would be like if we bet $833.
$833 would hurt me for a couple months.
You'd be like, Alexis, don't hit the button, dude. Don't hit send.
Bro, we need to. We better be hosting the fan fest for the next 30 years.
We better be Rebecca Lowe's agents if we going to get this money.
I lost $833, and I don't know if I'm going to recover.
Yo, you're going to say Canadian money is just white pesos.
The white peso is literally my favorite thing ever. Hilarious. It's almost like, you know, you're giving it respect, but also roasting it.
Wildly
as well.
Disrespectful.
Bro.
Oh, my God.
Do they still have the queen on the money? Have they updated it and they're going to put the king?
King?
Okay.
Put LeBron on it.
Okay. Zellboy said Drake is betting on the Washington Generals to beat the Harlem Globetrotters. He's like, I feel it.
Yo,
this time,
if Liverpool could win, then you know they're gonna do it.
Bro,
do people bet on wrestling?
Think about this. They do bet on wrestling, by the way. But they imagine he bet on Real Madrid to win the game. You know what I mean? Like the balls to do something like that. Because really.
It would be pretty great.
It would be pretty incredible. But to me, it's probably like a marketing expense. The loss is a market. It's like
I think it's been proven at this point that you, he doesn't actually bet with his own money on stake.
Oh, okay.
I think it's pretty obvious. Like this is like some type of like low key sponsorship because he's never come out and been like, you got to get on whatever.
Okay.
He just does it and he's like, man, I won all this money on blank or I lost all this money on blank. Yeah. So like at this point, it's just kind of like this low key thing. Like. If you're a stake, you're like, hey, this is pretty great.
Okay.
You know where I'm betting all my money? STAK.com, bro. Wow.
You know what? Bro. You should be betting on DraftKings, okay? Use the DraftKings.
That's what I think.
Because that's who sponsors this show.
So. 100%.
So DraftKings.
And if you don't feel right about it, or maybe you just want to relax before hitting that bet, then I would suggest drinking a nice cold Miller Lite.
Okay. Are we just casually saying that?
We got nothing to do with the fact that we are asked to read these things.
Justin Freeberg, Christian's looking around like Drake either bugged the room or was coming in the door before he said that. I'm a fan of Drake. I think he is.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think he changed music in the last decade. He's unbelievable.
Then just Skolnick said Drake bet on 10,000 lines versus Sun.
These are the. This is why he needs to be focused. I mean, look, we should help him out.
There's some real competitions going on out there, folks.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right.
That is.
A couple other things. Let's make sure we get to this because I saw this today. This was tweeted out by David Orenstein, I believe, for The Athletic. And apparently there is I guess this is maybe set in stone or maybe the idea has already been being put in place, but it seems like it's fairly likely if they reported it. But the Premier League is set to stage an enhanced preseason tournament in the USA next summer. It's not finalized, but potentially around 6 clubs in 2 groups with games in multiple cities on East and West Coast. First step is the roadmap for meaningful matches abroad. So that just like people would always talk about trying to get a La Liga match, a regular season.
The Superclásico or the El Clásico is what they wanted to play here.
Maybe this is the beginning of that. Who knows if England will get on board.
Well, I mean, Premier League, you're coming to our country, you know, and we want to welcome you. And I'm sure you're thinking like, wow, I wonder if we need MCs for the event. Well, if you do, I would just suggest.
Easy cooligans, buddy.
I think, all right. Look, you know.
One option.
No, we don't have a LinkedIn profile, but we have this. So this is.
Find me someone else that's going to read a message that says white peso. Find them.
Okay. But what do you think about this idea? We know that Premier League teams obviously regularly come to the U.S.
If you're the Premier League, you're like, why are all these other people making money off these preseason tournaments? Why aren't we making that money?
Right, because it's usually the clubs individually that are going. Not the Premier League is not sending the club.
Right.
It is the clubs individually. So for the
also that partnership money.
Well, it seems like So
could you imagine the sponsors for a 6 club tournament in the U.S.?
So basically,
here's the big issue though. When's the Premier League preseason?
The Premier League preseason.
What season is it in?
During
the what?
Summer.
Uh-huh. And when does MLS play?
Well, actually, Leagues Cup is going to be happening probably in that same span. Mm-hmm. So that would probably be the time to do it because they're not going to be, you know, after about 2 weeks of matches, obviously there's not going to be that many matches for this preseason, but I think they can make it work and it shouldn't interfere that much. There's going to be a lot of teams in Leagues Cup. There's going to be a lot of teams.
You think this is
a
conversation being had at the MLS's headquarters
now? No.
I think it'll be fine.
No. I mean, like logistically, it'll be fine. I mean, do they compete with each other? Sure, of course. But I don't think there's that much to worry about between this, let's say Leagues Cup and a Leagues Cup or Premier League preseason. I think the Leagues Cup has the potential to be bigger than a Premier League preseason.
I know we drove up from Philly together, but at some point, did you hit a vape pen that I don't know about?
I'm just saying there's going to be.
Did you drop a gummy?
It's literally bigger.
Let me tell you something. It's hitting. It's starting to hit.
There's more matches. There's more Mexican teams mm-hmm. that are going to be playing in the U.S.
100%.
The Mexican teams will I would say, usually draw.
You're thinking than, fans.
Yes.
They're both going to sell out whatever stadiums they're in.
Right.
Who do you think is going to have more partnership money? Who do you think is going to get bigger sponsorship deals? Who do you think is going to take more of a budget? If you're a major corporation like a Coca-Cola or Amazon, who do you think you are going to now give a bigger portion of your budget to?
Leagues Cup. There's more games. There's more opportunity to get in front of
eyeballs.
Absolute
bananas that think that.
But, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be they're going to blow them out the water. But
no, there's way more money.
It'll be more in Leagues Cup.
It's way more money exchanges hands amongst the Premier League. And their sponsors than both MLS and Liga MX and their sponsors put together.
That's I would love to see that like on paper because that does not necessarily.
Well, I'm glad you asked. Bring it in, Charlie.
I don't know. Generally, maybe
Premier League makes way more money partner sponsored wise,
of course,
than Liga MX and yes, MLS put together. Also, the TV rights deal. Will probably be bigger for this.
Do you think the ratings are going to be wild for a preseason tournament?
I think in America, inside this country, I think Leagues Cup will probably do well.
Yes.
But I think a preseason Premier League competition will do much better universally, across the board.
Sure, I can
see that. This thing is going to get more money in Europe. This thing is going to get more money in Asia. This thing is going to get probably comparable, if not more money in the U.S.
For
sponsorship and TV ratings.
That is very much possible. I still think Leagues Cup is going to be a very significant tournament. And given that there's like 44 matches, there'll clearly be a lot of investment. But this is the first time Leagues Cup is happening. But we will see how the tournament goes. So whatever. I don't want to talk business, bro.
This is a business podcast now.
Financial strategy podcast.
But this is going to be huge. I guarantee you, Don Garber, you know, when he read this tweet, he freaked out.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Let's get Don on the horn. See what he has to say.
Let's just call him.
Donnie
G.
Can he get leave a voice note for Don like you did for Pablo? Okay. So, all right. Anything else before
people seem to be on my side on this.
What's your side? What are they saying?
The intelligence side.
People saying they doubt my thoughts on this. All right, okay.
Yeah. I think you're wrong.
All right. David Lloyd said, I totally came here for the business talk, Christian. Keep it coming.
All right. Well, let's talk about our Q3 earnings.
All right. Anything else before we wrap up? I did see this for a tweet from a journalist from Jack Gaughan, I believe. Jack Gaughan. He said from the Daily Mail, he said that Man City are alleging that coins were thrown at Pep Guardiola in the aftermath of the disallowed goal.
I believe it. You know, unfortunately, this is one of those things that happens in the Premier League. You know, why y'all still using coins, bro? Didn't that British guy say my pockets don't jiggle, jiggle?
it folds, right?
Yeah, come on now. Throw cash at him. Throw cash at us, dude.
Bro. I mean, and look, we were just in Philadelphia. You should be throwing batteries, dog. What are you doing throwing
not
coins?
Not at us.
Look, unfortunately, you don't want to see that. So stop throwing coins at managers. Don't do that. Anything else before we wrap up? I know the Ballon d'Or ceremony is actually, I think, happening in about 15 minutes. So we'll maybe, depending on what happens, we'll talk about it a little bit on tomorrow's podcast. But, I mean, it feels like Karim Benzema.
This is a Karim Benzema watch.
But I think it would be like absurd if he did.
I think the most important thing is what video is he going to drop on his Instagram? This going to be.
Okay. Oh, crazy. I thought it was going to be what video is he going to use to blackmail the Bondo voters?
Yeah, which probably already happened. I don't know, bro. If I were you, these guys are dangerous. He just sends it to the Bondo voters.
Give him the trophy. Yeah. You don't want
also,
it?
Also, he got his hair cut by HD Cuts, the dude that cuts all the Premier League players' hair.
He flew. You think he flew him or he went there?
No, he flewed him in, baby.
Flew him? He flew him?
He flew him in, bro.
That's how you do it. Yo, barbers are becoming the new thotties, bro.
Damn. Yo. Yeah. Check the DMs for what I need you to do when you're here.
Yeah, dude. Okay.
And my cousin going to watch.
So, like we said before, literally, we have like a billion more stories about this weekend's Premier League morning Fan Fest in Philly, and we will share them all on this week's No Cap Recap. So make
shouts
sure
to Gully Squad, you getting a big one.
We appreciate y'all. So thank you. Look, you know, we so many people sent us so many.
Ben just going to say Benzema featuring Lil Nude.
I love Lil Nude is spelled N O O D. That's exactly. That's perfect. We can only
sure for Lil Noodle.
Okay, bro, how you knew my name in college, dog? So we're obviously very, very grateful for the opportunity that we had and working with everybody at NBC Sports.
Round of applause for NBC Sports.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was really, really dope. But you know, No, because I'm saying something. Jesus
Christ.
You can
clap and talk at the same time. Look, I'm doing it right now. Isn't that impressive?
We clapped earlier before as well.
You only got one? You can only do one thing at a time. You're like one of those old toys with the... What was it, the symbols?
We did get a lot of messages from people, especially that have been with us since, you know, like 2015, 2016, have really been, supporting what we've done. There's a lot of people who were like... Even early on, they were like, yo, what you guys are doing is really significant and special, and you guys are going to blow up. And we even really didn't believe them. And it's not like, you know, I wouldn't say we've blown up, but I think this weekend was a very significant moment in the Cooligan sort of history. I mean, and a lot of it is obviously due to, you know, there's been a lot of hard work behind the scenes, but it's you know, none of it happens without the incredible support. And there's so many people that are like, you know, they sent me texts, DMs, or just like, yo,
our DMs were filled with a lot of cool congratulations, but also some really, really heartfelt messages, which was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody. And shout out to... Señorita Intelectual
Franca, they were there.
She was there with her boyfriend. And there were a couple of people who came up to us, and she did as well. And she said, she was like, "Oh, I only came here to see you guys."
Yeah,
which is like, I mean, I could just cry, right? That's like just crazy. I mean, to us, thank you for lying to our face.
That's so cool. They're like, "We only came here for you guys." Do you know Rebecca Lowe? Like, is there anywhere we can get
really
a photo with her?
Much more famous people here? Yeah, but. We just want to like express that gratitude for everybody who tunes into the show live, who's listening to the podcast, all the new Meadowlark listeners, and everybody who's been with us through this journey. Because this weekend was really, really, really cool, really significant, and it was emotional too. That we got to do something like that, and even getting to be on TV, which is 100% not, and it was an expectation. We didn't know that was going to happen.
We were not told until 50 minutes before, like so I explained in the beginning.
It was cool of Rebecca and the team and the staff to have us on.
I was there last year in LA, and I don't think that MC got on TV.
Yeah, so that was.
I didn't think it was there the same day.
So it was really, really, really dope, and I just want to make sure people know how significant and important that was to us, and that doesn't happen without, Cooligans fans, Cooligans supporters.
There were so many messages that we received when we were on stage that as soon as I got off, we were just like, whoa, we were just on TV, which is so cool for us. And I looked down, and I actually had a message from a homie from Newark. Who was just, it was very touching, almost, it legitimately almost made me emotional.
He has him saved in his phone as homie from Newark.
Yeah. I don't know his real name. We don't use government names. No, he said, like, yo, first thing I saw was people, it was a picture of us. He was watching TV. He said, people from where we from don't do this, and you're doing it.
Yeah.
And it was, yo, it hit hard. I had to take a second because I was just thinking about, you know, how hard this journey has been. And not that we're anywhere near the top or anything, but clearly these last few weeks have been really, really, you know, momentous. There were so many things that have been happening, and to have it just continue and for this to be happening was just absolutely insane. Yeah. So thank you for everyone at NBC who believed in us, because without y'all, I'm pretty sure the Premier League was like, we don't want to. You've heard them, right?
Right.
So this was really cool that, you know, whoever went to bat for us, you know who you are. Thank you.
And also, when you look at that, you know, you just look at that picture of all of us on stage. It's just like, yo, I'm Dominican. You're Cuban. It was, you know, the Hispanic Heritage Month just wrapped up yesterday.
We shut it down.
Okay. What a way to wrap it. Nah, it really is like, you know, not only is like, you know, kids from Newark and kids from Brooklyn don't necessarily get to do stuff like this. But then on top of that, there was a sense of pride of like, yo, we come from non-soccer playing countries and cultures. And to get to that point where, again, they asked us to join the broadcast and be on air is really wild. And it's probably going to take a little bit more time to process of what that moment means, I think. Because I think to some people, it's like, oh, okay, there doesn't have to be this clear delineation of like, you're from this country, so we respect your opinion,
right?
And you know that you don't know enough about the sport or whatever,
right?
So it did feel like a huge accomplishment, not just for us as comics and as whatever, you know personalities in the sport, but then as like two Latinos that don't come from soccer playing countries,
right,
to have that kind of influence. Unreal. So
insane.
Really, really cool moment. Thank you again for everybody.
Jamal said they are stealing our sport. Get them out. Shouts to Jamal, who sent a really dope message as well. PFC Manor said, you guys and Pat McAfee single-handedly have changed the way sports are talked about week to week. Honor to be a part of this since the Platano phone days.
Bro.
Y'all are the absolute greatest. Thanks to everyone who sent us. You know, it's funny. You don't check the requested messages a lot on
Instagram. I checked them. I checked them all the time. Yeah,
because there's a bunch in there. And after that, I went to the trailer, and I just not to the trailer. I went back to the hotel. I'm sitting on the toilet, waiting for that cheesesteak to come back. And I checked it, and somebody had sent a message like 13 weeks ago that said like, Americans have absolutely no right to give their opinion on this.
I saw that. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, I just
did you?
I didn't delete it. I think
you didn't delete it, and I just sat there and I just kind of giggled. I was like, if only you knew. If only you knew, buddy. I hope you have NBC.
Right. So seriously, thank you, everybody. A reminder: you want to hear more about, literally a bunch of really insane stories about that fan vest. Mm-hmm. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligan. Thank you to everybody who's joined and supported, and shout out to Gully Squad for the constant support. All right, make sure, as a reminder, we did start the our Cooligans Clips channel here on YouTube. If you are already a subscriber to the Cooligans YouTube channel, you'll see it right there. Once you go to the YouTube page, it'll be the first thing. But the Cooligans, if you look up Cooligans Clips, if you just search it, please subscribe to that, because all our clips of the show will be living there. And then the long form stuff and any like unboxings and things like that will live on our standard YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to the Cooligans Clips channel so that we can hurry up and monetize it, okay?
Yeah. We're trying to make those $35 a month.
So we need that money, okay? We bet it all on the El Clásico. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. As always, follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. And we will see you tomorrow for Shouts to U.S. We're going to be talking everything MLS, NWSL playoffs.
And we'll talk about the NYCFC game, which we are going to. I know a lot of you have been asking in the chat. We absolutely will be there. We'll be in City Field.
We'll be there.
Hang out at the party ahead of it, because we'll be there.
Yeah. So I believe that starts at 6. And so right outside of the train station, you'll see it right outside of City Field. We'll be there. And we'll talk about all the matches of the weekend. Obviously, a lot of wild results. Red Bulls disappointing their fan base once again.
And some of them were at this fan fest and letting us know.
They were quite upset. But a lot to discuss, because there were a lot of wild matches. So, all right. We will see you tomorrow, or you'll hear us tomorrow. You guys have the best. Peace, everybody.
Take it easy.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.